Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
We're learning a lot about each other.
I think there's a very easy way for fans to blame Matt LaFleur because it is a lot easier to move off of Matt LaFleur than it is Jordan Love.
Packer fans calling for the head of Matt LaFleur is some of the dumbest and most insane things I've ever heard.
I think there is a Grand Canyon-sized gulf between who's to blame here and Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, and it's Matt LaFleur. If you don't trust Jordan Love, that's one thing. Guess what? You're now coaching for your job, so you need to prove it's not you and it's him.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside Josh DiMaggio, here's Molly Brown.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Did I just bust your eardrums, Josh DiMaggio? My goodness.
I didn't expect that.
You just shared me.
Molly Brown. That is the goal. That is the goal when I try to impersonate Jim Rutledge for the day. Molly Brown here alongside Josh DiMaggio, Ryan Wollersheim behind the glass. Jim is on his way back from Oklahoma City, so that's exciting. And Matt Hamilton will be curling in the finals, Ryan, of the Olympic trials?
That's a great question, actually. I don't know if it's the finals. I just know they're undefeated. They're the greatest team ever. Team Schuster all the way. That's all I know.
It's something in the finals. I don't know what it is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but this is Jim, Matt, Molly, and we are presented by Coors Light. Guys, if the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
Josh doesn't know. Maybe he'll learn by hour two.
Yeah, we probably should have told him that beforehand.
So I do know that because I do listen to Jim, Matt, and Molly on occasion. The problem is I don't know with delay if I would be like 3 seconds behind and it would sound disjointed. It just seems to be married better when everyone's in the same room together.
Yeah. Molly, let's do it one more time. Let's see if we can get it. If we can get it perfect here,
let's
Josh.
Let's see how bad this sounds. Okay. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush.
And that's crush.
A Coors Light.
It's okay. We tried. This is what happens when, like, I'm in Milwaukee or I'm in Beaver Dam or whatever, and somebody else is here. It's just all the thing. I've been in Milwaukee, and I've been in that exact same chair as you. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, this sounds horrible. But the mountains are blue, so you gotta crush Coors Light. 844-770-3776. That is your way into today's show. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more. You can also stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app as well as the ESPN Madison YouTube page. But Josh, I appreciate you joining the show, taking the time away from Friendsgiving. Your planning of Friendsgiving.
Yeah. Well, I'm not planning. Let's get one thing clear here. If anyone has, listened to any of the previous times, maybe I've been on this show or on Wildy and Tausch or anywhere across the ESPN Wisconsin airwaves, my girlfriend I affectionately refer to as Mussolini because once when I asked there was a decision being made in the household, and I said, well, is this a democracy? Do I get a vote? She said, no, it's a dictatorship. So from that point forward, she's been Mussolini. The Friendsgiving has nothing to do with me. And when I say nothing, I wasn't asked about it. I wasn't warned about it. It was just sort of, hey, we're doing this. And stuff started showing up in the house. And then I had to go do shopping, find things that are going to be part of the Friendsgiving. I've been out on Friendsgivings from day one. I've never wanted to go to them at other people's houses. And now it's come full circle, and I hosted at my own house with my own friends, and I just really don't want to be involved at all. I view it as, if I like these people, I'll find time to spend time with them. I don't need to do the whole simulated family Friendsgiving thing. Our families all live within, we'll be spending Thanksgiving with them. So it's not like we're transplants and we don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with. But I'm going to like two different Thanksgivings when Thanksgiving happens. Right. So now I have a Friendsgiving. I'm doing three Thanksgivings. Three.
Okay. Well, I have so many questions off this. But first of all, do you like Thanksgiving food?
I like it fine. I do not get as excited about it as other people do. I am not like a huge like, oh my god, I need to have stuffing thing.
See, I am.
I'm not a huge mashed potatoes person. I find them to be fine. Turkey stinks unless it's deep fried or smoked for the most part. I do like a green bean casserole. Maybe that's the thing I get most excited about. Otherwise, I'll take it or leave it. It's fine.
Okay. So next thing, since you are hosting Friendsgiving, how bougie do you make your home for this? Like, do you have like did your I don't want to call her Mussolini because that just feels wrong for me to call her that. Did your significant other ask you to like go to like Target to go buy like place settings and I don't know, I think of like little cranberries and I don't know. I'm not a Friendsgiving or like anything kind of person, so I don't really know what all goes into that, but like do you have to have like a full on like 10-foot long dining room table like fully set up?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I was asked about the total number of attendees, and I got a wishy-washy answer. And I think that's because there's more people attending this year than last year, and I believe there was 14 last year.
Oh my
so
God.
I don't know what our grand total is going to be. Yeah. I mean, we have we're fortunate to have a pretty large-sized apartment where it doesn't feel like everybody's crushed in there, but 14 people does get a lot, no matter really the space. If you're putting everyone in the same room, it starts to feel a little stuffy in there. And fortunately, most of like the decorations and stuff were either purchased last year or were just bought online and shipped to the house. I do have to mount two lights in our dining room because last year we don't like overhead lighting, Molly. That's rule number one. You need to understand that. Overhead lighting.
I don't understand.
Not a fan.
Why?
Yeah, it's too bright, doesn't look nice. If it were up to me, I would just dim the lights since, you know, we have that feature. But no, not good enough. I need to mount I need to mount LED powered lights on one wall of the of the dining room there. Ryan, you seem confused.
Well, because it doesn't make sense to me that overhead lighting bad, but LED lights on the one side of the room. Like, is that really what she prefers?
LED lights are like what I have up above me in the studio that watches me out.
To have that in like a home is just so like uncomfortable and so like I don't know. Like
yeah. I hear where you're coming from, but they're more like yellow simulated soft lighting. So they are LED bulbs, but they are made to seem like they are closer to like a candlelight than a overhead that you see all of us in all of our respective rooms.
Classy.
So yeah, it's a whole lot. I mean, the cleaning's the worst. Why am I cleaning the shower? Who's getting in the shower at Friendsgiving?
Okay.
What happens at Friendsgiving? Why am I scrubbing the bathtub?
I understand where you're coming from, but also as a mom, like if I had people coming over, I would be cleaning every nook and cranny of my house as much as I possibly could, because what if they go to the bathroom and like, I don't know, the shower curtain's open and then they see that, oh, there's like nasty little whatever stuff in the grout. Like, I'd be embarrassed. Hair, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
There's the ball of hair that ends up in the bottom of the drain and then gets moved to a wall or pulled off the head and moved to a wall. Yeah,
okay,
I know
oh,
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. There's times where I'm washing my hair and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I got to get this hair off my hand and just stick it to the side of the shower.
You gave me a look and then instantly knew what I was talking
about.
Well,
because I was like, because all I'm picturing is you just having like hairballs in your like shower drain and I was like, that's disgusting. And then all of a sudden once you said the walls, I was like, yeah, wait, that's fair.
Yeah.
That
yeah, is fair. It's the standard of living with a woman with longer hair. There is hair eventually, and you live long enough together, it's everywhere. You're pulling, you're like, well, why is there hair here? I thought I washed this piece of clothing last time. What ends up happening, too, is I don't do a lot of the cooking. I am in large control of the ham that we cook. It's a family recipe, but it's like a slow cooked, and once you get it in, you don't need to do much maintenance. You just kind of rotate it, do a little basting every couple hours.
Okay.
So I get stuck with most of the cleaning. You would say, is that out of the norm? No, I do 95% of the cleaning in the house already. So it's just more vigorous cleaning for me at this point. So there's a whole lot of payment from me, a lot I need to offer the Friendsgiving for not a lot I get back, since I don't really want to be there that bad and I don't view the food as particularly that great.
That's honestly fair. Do you, are you, I'm going to ask you this and don't get offended. Are you allowed to have like the TV on during this Friendsgiving or is this like TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know what your answer was going to be.
I do defer most things and I don't, I choose peace if there's certain demands made. But when it comes to like, hey, it's a Saturday and college football's on, I'm turning it on.
Yeah.
We don't need the volume blasting, but I need something to look at. Also, what am I supposed to do when the conversation runs out with the guy, with the girl's boyfriend who I met for the third time and barely know anything about?
See,
I got to be able to stare at the TV.
That's another question is how long do these people stay at your house? Because like, I'm assuming that Friendsgiving, I guess, I don't even know, like, what is the timing of Friendsgiving? But then how long are they allowed to stay at your house? Because also, so if you're hosting, oh my God, see, that would, see, I'm out on Friendsgiving and I couldn't do it because just like the idea
also,
of having people over at my house for hours on end that I kind of know, I'm out.
Mussolini, I affectionately always say, is the first one at the party and the last one to leave. She's always afraid something fun's going to happen. So when you're the host as the person who is the last to leave, that means everybody's sticking around with you. So, I think last time there were people in the house for like 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, goodness gracious. Do they help clean the dishes?
Yes, some do. Yeah.
Okay.
You could say that. Depends on, you know, how many adult beverages get consumed and how helpful the help actually is. Sometimes it's just kind of like shuffling stuff around and not really, you know, doing much. We've all been there.
Well, I also heard that you got a dehydrator. Was that specifically for Friendsgiving to dehydrate lemons? I have to ask.
Yes. We have hundreds of dehydrated lemons and oranges that are simply just to go on glasses. They aren't going to provide anything to the drink. They're just going to make the drink look nice when people take pictures of them and post it on Instagram. And this thing's been running like a sweatshop. It's nonstop. It's been going for like a week. I got lemons and oranges coming out of my absolute ears right now.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's crazy. JJ and Poynette is a big Joshy fan. He says, I'm in a much better mood now that I heard Josh's laugh. Hadn't heard that in a long time. Also, he says, I am in large control of the ham, belongs on a t-shirt. 844-770-3776. That is your way into today's show. Do you celebrate Friendsgiving? Ryan, have you ever celebrated a Friendsgiving before?
So in our pre-show meeting, we were talking about it. I thought I had only done it once. I've actually done it twice now that I can think about it. Once in college and then once last year. It was the same Saturday after the Badgers had just lost to Nebraska. We pretty much knew for sure they weren't going to be making a bowl game last year. So it was a very sad day for me. Everyone else at Friendsgiving did not give a rip at all about the game. They weren't even aware that one had happened, actually. So they were all feeling great. I was there pretty depressed, which is actually sad enough already because, as everyone who listens to this show know, I'm a notoriously single guy. So usually Thanksgiving is just a time to talk to family members.
Well, according to Josh, I don't know if it pays to be in a relationship or not.
That's a good point. Yeah, Josh's policy of appeasement.
And things that I've said too.
Josh's policy of appeasement when it comes to his Friendsgiving is not maybe as stringent as my experience, but it is tough when Thanksgiving is just like the day where you kind of talk to relatives and you talk about like how things are going in life. Like, oh yeah, you meet someone yet? You know, you think about settling down. It's like, well, settling down, you know, the apartment I've been in for 2 years, it hasn't changed much, still a single bedroom. So that doesn't change much, and you just feel it more on Friendsgiving because you usually go there and everyone's just there like coupled up, and like maybe there's you and one or two other people who aren't. So it's almost just like a double dose of just feeling lonely during the holidays.
Wait, so question, all of your friends that are like in relationships, are they, if you have, let's say, three people that are single that attend. So, Ryan, there's you, and then let's say that there's one girl or two girls, whatever there is. That also is going to sound very weird, but the way that I'm going to ask this question. But do they try and, like, pair you up? Like, is that, like, them being like, oh, like, we're all friends. You're single. Like, does that happen?
I mean,
this would work perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's
we're
the
all
holidays.
The same friends.
Yeah, cuffing season.
Cuffing.
So there did happen to be other people who were single of the opposite sex at this Friendsgiving last year. It just
You said that in the dorkiest way possible. I can't imagine why you're single.
But personally, I just didn't find them interesting, so therefore we didn't really hit it off or anything. So
okay.
That's all it was.
Okay.
But, I mean, look, it's Friendsgiving
is... Do you think the finding them interesting thing is a you problem or a them problem?
Oh, it's a me problem. No, it's been a me problem for a while, if we're being honest. Maybe a little too picky on this side. Some Packers fans, when it comes to their head coach, a little too picky. But I would just say can't relate. No, not Josh DiMaggio. Not Josh DiMaggio, for sure. But Friendsgiving is a good time, but doing it, having to host it for 6 to 8 hours, like Josh, like, we get, like, extra days off when we work holidays here for ESPN Wisconsin, for GKB, Good Karma Brands. You should, like, get, like, an extra day off, like, with Mussolini. Yeah. Like, a free day for this, like, a replacement holiday, because you're giving up this much time on a college
football
Saturday.
That is a good call. You should get an... that's a good call.
Yeah, well, I'll have you guys pass that message along, because I'd be met with laughter, and yeah, fat chance, pal. Get back over there and start mopping the floors. We got people coming over in 3 hours.
Cleaning the shower with your toothbrush, Josh. Get to work. More Joshy lovers here. Dave in Deerfield says, Josh, great to hear your voice and your weekend plans.
What's up, Dave?
I don't know who Sophia is. I don't know. Probably... He said Sophia much better, but I think he meant so much better than, say, 2 days of someone in Oklahoma City, which is Jim Rutledge. So.
People like me.
We've had a fun couple of shows. We've talked about taco domination.
For sure, yeah.
Josh, how do you eat your tacos?
I eat them like a normal person and not psycho. I turn my head.
Okay, there you go. I do a little bit of both, so it's fine. But we've got plenty more to get into. We've got into Josh's take on Matt LaFleur, because I think just based on the open, it sounds a little bit different than what Jim and I think. So I'm excited to hear from Josh there. But first, we got to hear from Jim as he tells us about Simden Chevrolet.
You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. Jim Rutledge here. You've heard me talk about my big blue truck, my Silverado from Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. I've had multiple better buying experiences at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. And the weather is beautiful, so it's a great time to make the easy ride up to Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. But have that better buying experience. Go experience for yourself. A better buying experience means it's a custom buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Guys, do you dominate a taco when you eat it, or do you let the taco dominate you?
I do a little bit of both. I'm a bit of a dominator, but I'm also a bit of a, what is it called, submissive?
I would just say, however you're going to eat the taco, eat it aggressively.
Oh.
You can be submissive to the taco, you can dominate the taco, but just be assertive when you're eating the taco.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
This is Jim, Matt, Molly. We're presented by Coors Light. Molly Brown and Josh DiMaggio in on a Friday. Josh is bopping in Milwaukee right now. Primetime Woolerton behind the glass. Jim is on his way back from Oklahoma City, and Matt is at the Olympic curling trials. So that's super exciting for him. I teased it on our way to break, but I do want to get into Matt LaFleur here. Josh, I think we have differing opinions, probably similar, if we're being honest. Similar opinions about Matt LaFleur. I think you feel a little bit more harshly on him than I do. I feel like, to me, he is a problem, but he is not the only problem. I think Jordan Love has quite a bit of stake in this as well as Brian Gutekunst. I think that he plays a pivotal role into the Packers' lack of success lately. But I've listened to you on Jen, Game, and Chewy. You can hear them from 7 to 9 in the mornings on ESPN Milwaukee. But I've listened to you, and I feel like you are pretty harsh on your stance with Matt LaFleur. So if you want to just enlighten us a little bit on your thoughts on Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I mean, this started for me back in September. Prior to the past couple of weeks, a lot of my issues with Matt LaFleur have been along the decision-making line. So his seemingly at random decisions to go for fourth or to kick a field goal or to punt seem to happen regardless of what the win probability will say. He's actually referenced it when he went for it. Was it the 4th and 8?
Yep.
Against the Panthers. And he said, well, the win probability was, and he actually misquoted it. It was the other way around. You can look up all those numbers from ESPN Stats and Info. And that, to me, is a problem because as a head coach, you need to be doing all the things possible to give your team the best chance to win. So a head coach negatively affecting the outcomes and win probability of games to me is entirely unacceptable, especially when you have somebody in your ear telling you, hey, if you go for it, your win probability increases this much. If you go for it and don't get it, it goes to here. If you punt here, like all that stuff to me is very simple, and you should just follow the numbers because over the course of a season, making the correct decision as often as possible is going to win you more games that you probably wouldn't have a chance to. And then recently, it has everything to do with what we saw happen the past 2 weeks. The past 2 weeks, the Packers offense has become very plain, very vanilla, very uncreative.
Yep.
They have gotten to the point where the too high shell thing that we've heard talked about for multiple years now has gotten the Packers to a point where regardless of the play call, and regardless of what situation in the game they are, down in distance, length, time remaining, any of that, they will try and run it against defensive fronts they think they have a number advantage of. I shouldn't say they think, that they actually do.
Yep.
And that's how those decisions get made. Every time you see Jordan Love go to his head and say, can, it almost always is a run because a pass play was called, but they have the numbers advantage. The problem with that is it's twofold. One, when you do that, everyone knows you're most likely canning the play to a run. Two is the run game has been remarkably ineffective. Matt LaFleur had the nerve to get in front of everybody after the game on Monday and say, yeah, we thought the run game was effective. Well, you averaged 3.5 yards a carry, which is the worst mark in all the NFL. That, to me, is like sort of not really knowing what's going on out there. And then you just fold that all into the fact of like the passing game has gone by the wayside. And the run game's ineffectiveness largely has to do with the offensive line. The offensive line is not nearly good enough.
Nope.
And that's where the Brian Gutekunst part comes in. But as a head coach, you have to recognize what you have and what you can do. Going out every single week and being like, we need to establish the run because that's the way we win, and then not establishing the run and then losing the games, to me is unacceptable. After the loss of Tucker Kraft, he not only was like 80% of the team's yak yardage, so
right.
That dink and dunk stuff worked because Tucker Kraft was creating after he caught the ball. Now when they lose him, they lost the next highest guy, I believe, was like Romeo Doubs, somewhere in that like 80 yards, and Tucker Kraft had like 350 plus. And instead of trying to supplement that with the middle of the field, use the intermediate routes and try and, you know, make those safeties be more honest, he just sort of gave up and said, we want to muck this game up. Well, you're mucking the game up against a team who lives and dies by mucking it up. That's their whole thing, the Eagles.
But do you also feel for him, and I'm not saying you should, I'm not saying I do, but do you also feel for Matt LaFleur, especially when you look at, like, the Eagles game and after he lost Tucker Kraft? Now granted, they weren't doing much in the Carolina game when they had Tucker Kraft anyways, but does part of you feel for him knowing that he doesn't have a clear-cut number one? Like, I know he's been the person behind saying, we don't need to have one, we can have multiple people to spread the ball around to. Like, I understand that he's been the biggest person behind that, but also he doesn't have anybody. Like, it was Bo Melton who's been practicing as cornerback. I don't know if he's cornerback. I don't know what the hell his position is at this point. Malik Heath, I don't know what he's done. Romeo Doubs, clearly not a number one. Matthew Golden, out. Like, all of these guys. Christian Watson, yeah, he's coming back. He's made some plays, but, like, he's not going to be your number one receiver, nor should he be.
It's that certainly is a factor, but it's not an excuse. You're a head football coach. You're paid to be a head football coach. Your system, as you tell us every single time, is you don't feature guys or you don't feed guys the ball because under your belief, there's enough talent to go around and your play calling is good enough that regardless of who you put in those situations, they should be able to succeed. Now, obviously, we can't account for drops like we saw.
Yep.
That's a part where you can't really blame
him for
that.
Or your wide receiver playing cornerback. It's fine.
Why does Bo Melton get more targets than Matthew Golden would when Bo Melton was a wide receiver who converted to corner, who you have playing wide receiver even though he's in the defensive meeting rooms
every week?
Like,
part of me,
that's poor decision making.
I fully agree with you. I fully agree with you there. But also, how much of that is Jordan Love overlooking Matthew Golden? Because there have been instances where they are showing replays and Matthew Golden is wide open in the middle of the field and Jordan Love does not throw to him.
I think it certainly can be a factor. I also think it has a lot to do with like who's being put in the progressions. So, you know, you look to your first read, second read, third read. And a lot of times Matthew Golden's being put in a spot. Well, frankly, he's down the chain of command there. And yeah, he's open, but did Jordan get there? Did he have time to get there? Did the offensive line to get there? I think, if you look at all the advanced numbers, Jordan Love has proven to be somewhere in that 5-7 in terms of quarterbacks in the NFL. His EPA numbers are incredible. His completion percentage over expected. All the nerdy stuff that sort of lets you disregard the surrounding factors and really hones in on the things the quarterback are doing. Basically, he's trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Matt LaFleur, that is. He's trying to make a guy who thrives off of passing the ball downfield, being aggressive, and then he's trying to neuter him and get the best out of him. And that's where we've seen some of the mistakes come in when he throws one of those effort balls and it just goes into triple coverage. The thing about Jordan Love is the turnover thing that everybody's so concerned about, his turnover numbers are incredibly low.
But
his interceptable passes are turnover worthy.
They come at bad points in time, though.
They
like,
certainly do.
Look at the one that happened right before halftime last week when it was just like he like was throwing it, but then it got hit and it was a fumble. And it was like, what are you doing? You're playing like a rookie. And let's face it, he's not. He's in his sixth year. He's getting paid $55 million a year. Like, there's no excuse for him to make those poor decisions. And I think there's an equal balance here. Maybe not equal, but there's a balance between Matt LaFleur being part of the problem and Jordan Love being part of the problem. But from what you're saying, I don't know if you blame Jordan Love at all, which sounds a lot like the people that are on the Instagram reel commenting saying that I'm an idiot.
Well, I'm not going to call you an idiot, but I think Jordan Love is about 5% of the issue because he does have
5%
moments where he makes
unreal.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's max. And I felt like I was being aggressive there. I probably would put him at 2.5 if I actually.
Oh,
but I'm trying
gosh.
To be nice here. Nice guy. Don't let anyone tell you ever I'm not a nice guy. but for me, it's Jordan Love is not, he's being cast in a position that doesn't best benefit his skills by a coach who isn't so concerned about getting the best out of him. And yeah, you mentioned bad times. He makes errors at bad times. I think a little bit of that is confirmation bias. I think a little bit of us get attached to moments where we remember it happening instead of when he goes out and like makes plays, leads the field team down the field type deal. I think we remember the bad more than we do the positives because they can often get lost within the script of a game. When it comes to Jordan Love, he's not the dink and dunk guy, and what happens is he like combusts and then goes, we really need to get something downfield here, which is not good, and you should be able to get rid of that. But he would be not making as many mistakes in big moments if his head coach didn't call a game with six of the first seven plays being runs. Like, this Packers team is going to be the best if they get out to a lead and let that defensive line and defense eat and play aggressive. Instead of being in a chess match in a back-and-forth game, like, be aggressive. Go out there and try and score points immediately. Matt LaFleur said, believe me, I'm trying to be aggressive. Well, how aggressive can you be when you're running more run plays than like any other team in the league? That's not really being aggressive. The 3rd and 10 situation when they're deep in their own territory and Matt LaFleur called a play action and the linebackers didn't even honor it the tiniest a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, hit the Matt LaFleur gig in the 2025 Packers offense has been figured out. So it's his job to make it better, to improve things and to put them in a spot where they can actually score some points, get out to some leads, and play the football that we all think they're capable of.
I want to continue this conversation with Jason Wilde on the other side, but first I got to tell you about my friends over at Carbon World Health. You guys know that I've been loving my results from Carbon World Health as I've gotten a couple of their my hydrofacials done there, and my skin is absolutely glowing. Their brand new state-of-the-art location in the Prairie Lake Shopping Center is absolutely phenomenal. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. They have literally everything you can imagine at their med spa: laser treatments, injectables, body contouring, vitamin drips, and so much more. Head over to carbonworldhealth.com to learn more and get started on your health and wellness journey today. This is Jim, Matt, Molly.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
If you're going to describe the person you don't want to sit next to you on the plane, and I'll tell you how close you are to who this person was.
I would say like Dwayne The Rock Johnson size, but more like...
If Dwayne The Rock Johnson is sitting next to you or somebody that looks like that, you're going to be happy.
I like, would be happy, yeah.
You can be my flotation device.
Okay.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
We are thrilled to have you.
Great to be with you. I'm thrilled to be here. Can we keep the yuck your yum line out of my segment?
Okay.
I hate doing your show.
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
What are we doing here?
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly. What's up with that? What's up with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that? This is Jim, Matt, Molly. Molly Brown and Josh DiMaggio hanging out with you today. Ryan Wollersheim behind the glass. We are excited to be joined by Jason Wilde here in just a second as he gets situated in his car. He's good? Is that what you're nodding to me? Okay.
He's good.
Sorry to like get this ready on the air. Well, all I heard was
that
he's
was
getting situated.
Smooth.
You know what, Josh?
What does a nod signal to you?
Okay, you did a half nod. Right? Josh, this is what he did on the video stream if you're watching. He went,
I'm watching.
What kind of nod is that?
That's a nod.
That's not a nod.
You got to do thumbs up. This is a thumbs up situation.
You got to go like this.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or get in my ear and say,
or talk
good.
In his ear.
Yeah. Exactly.
Uh-huh. You get mad when I talk in your ear usually.
No. I get mad when you talk in my ears and I am trying to make like a point, and then all of a sudden you get in my ear and I am lost and I forget what I was saying. That is an opinion. Or what I'm doing a live read.
Just trying to help, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry that the nod didn't suffice.
No. Is Jason ready?
Jason,
who knows?
Jason, how are you? How are you today on this third day that we get to speak with you this week? What a week.
I don't want to pile on Rye Guy, but he also didn't tell me who was hosting the show, so I'm glad
what?
I know now.
That's not true.
That it's Molly and Josh DiMaggio. You did not tell me that it was Josh DiMaggio. You didn't.
Okay, first of all, there were two signals for you that it was Josh hosting today. In the tweet that you are also tagged in, that Josh is tagged in, and Molly's tagged
in. Twitter.
nobody, obviously. But then I also, when I texted you, does 4:35 work for you? You said yes, but what does that time really mean? Because you know we're always so late. I said, well, Molly and Josh are actually fairly punctual. So Molly and Josh hosting.
Oh, I didn't read that text
fairly
either.
Punctual.
I have my read receipts on. So
did he read your message?
I take it back.
I guess not.
Wait, that's a thing though. Keeping your read receipts on. I don't have my read receipts on for anybody.
Oh, I have mine for everybody. I want people to. If I don't respond to you, and I read your text, I want you to know.
Yeah. So when you read the text, when you read the text at 4:27, and you said you didn't actually read
Uh-oh.
It, is that what it was?
Got him.
Oh boy.
You want to throw down here, Rye Guy? I had the damn sports show. Then I had WTMJ. I had to send an email for an event we've got going on with Associated Bank, which is a great partner. And then I had to walk out of Lambeau. So, no, I did not read the secondary text. You asked me if 4:35 was going to work. I said yes. I think that covers it. I personally, obviously Josh has producing experience. Generally, he tells me when I'm on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy before he says, all right, I'm going to put you on hold. Here are the people on today's program.
Okay. Fair.
Josh, how much?
Sometimes.
Josh, how much do you panic when Jason oversleeps for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in the morning?
Yeah.
I would be panicking as a producer.
The only time I panicked was the one time I hadn't heard from Jason in a long time, but that was more concerned about is everything okay worry. More
See, that'd
than
be
like
my concern too.
Anything? Yeah, it was more about a well-being thing than anything else. Like, we love Jason having Jason on, but I'll live if he doesn't join us. He joins us three times a week. So if it's 2 out of 3, we'll be able to figure it out. No disrespect, Jason, of course.
Jason, how does that make you feel?
No, not take it. Yeah, no. I think in the how many years have we had Jen, Gabe, and Chewy now? Five.
I believe so. And I'm I'm two and a half, three right now with them.
Yeah, Ashton Rotman before you. I think it has happened 3 times in 5 years, where, and I think at least one, or maybe even two of them, because it's Tuesday's one of my days. Were after Monday night games when I'm just getting old. Like, I just don't recover time-wise the way I used to, staying up till 3 a.m. But yeah, I appreciate the wellness check. Now I don't have any like, oh, I was sleeping or I didn't turn on my, I always like to leave my, my phone is always on vibrate because I'm definitely afraid. There was one time when my SiriusXM app randomly started playing music during a LaFleur press conference, and it was around Christmas time, and it was Taylor Swift's Christmas Tree Farm. So I always have it on vibrate, but when I go to bed the night before a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy appearance, I always put it on sound, so then if I happen to oversleep past my alarm, the call will wake me up. But that has not saved me when I've been really tired. The excuse one that I don't have an excuse for at all was for Green Bay game day, where speaking of wellness checks, they had a noon game. It was the first home noon game of the year. And for whatever reason, in my brain, I thought, well, I'm on an 11. No, dumbass, you're on a 10. So at 10:20, I'm in the shower thinking, oh, I'm going to be early. I can, you know, talk with partners and see folks. And instead, I missed the text from Strokes. I was in the shower. I get out of the shower. I look at my phone. It says, are you okay? I'm like, what? Oh, my God. I'm supposed to be out of 10. So I'm speeding over toward Lambeau to the Tundra Trio. But that, again, wellness check. I appreciate that. I appreciate people being concerned about my well-being. So thank you for looking out for me when I'm derelict in my duty. Now, on with the show.
Jason, I'm slightly worried about the Packers' well-being this weekend as they head to New York.
Nice segue.
Yeah, thank you. Professional here. I really feel like there's a chance that they could lose to the Giants just with how horrible this offense has been playing.
Yeah, I don't ever want to be the young whippersnapper on the bus to Super Bowl 32 after having covered a Super Bowl champion his first year on the beat, and they're on the verge of repeating, and they're 12.5-point favorites, as Josh well knows from doing a show with Chewy every day. And I sat on the media bus and said, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game. That's a good lesson for the kids out there. Don't be a know-it-all. But that said, you know, if I was a Packers fan, I'd be a little nervous. I was talking to Josh Jacobs about this earlier in the week, and I was talking to Keyshawn Nixon about it today, because they were on the Raiders when John Gruden was forced to resign with the whole Dan Snyder and the emails and all that stuff. And Rich Bisaccia took over, and there was an incredible surge of energy, and they wanted to win it for him, and they wanted to help him get his job, get the job. I think they won 6 in a row at one point with him as their coach. So there's that at work with the Giants, with Mike Kafka. But I think Matt LaFleur's track record, you know, and obviously a lot of it is with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback, but I think there was a point in those first 3 years where, like, he never lost back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And so I think that they have been pretty dialed in, just from talking to some of the players about, like, this stuff's embarrassing. Like, it's one thing to lose to the defending Super Bowl champs, but to score 7 points, the hell's wrong with us? And I mentioned, Josh knows I mentioned this earlier in the week. My favorite thing that I heard was after the game from Jordan Love saying, if I was on the defense, I'd be looking at us going, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Give us some help here. Because I thought, you know, that's a very smart, preemptive way to go about making sure that, you know, there's not that division of, hey, we're doing our job. What the hell's wrong with you guys? So that acknowledgement was important. But I expect them to play and play well. I expect their offense to get things going. This is a beat up team. They don't have Jackson Dart. I think they should have some short fields if they do what they're supposed to do against famous Jameis Winston, who tends to throw interceptions at times. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a real opportunity for them, and they need it, right? Not only for their well-being moving forward, but look at the schedule, right? 5 of the final 7 are in the division. Like, there's all kinds of opportunity here. And by the way, it's not like they're sitting like the Cowboys at 3-5-1. They're 5-3-1. Like, they do have some wins in the bank. So you go into this game, get a W, you're 6-3-1, and then you've got those last seven, there's an opportunity here. If you are the team that you believed yourself to be, if you can figure out how to get your offensive line to block somebody so your running back can gain some yards before he gets hit, and if you can figure out some sort of patchwork passing game without Tucker Kraft, I know those are all big ifs, but I don't think they're that difficult to achieve. I think they're going to be okay.
I see that Aaron Banks did not participate in practice today. What the hell is the offensive line going to look like if he can't go?
Yeah, he's fine. It was veteran rest.
I did go to
talk to him today, and he said, I have to go pick up my aunt at the airport. Which I got to say, that's a new one on me. So in the last 24-ish hours,
yeah, I was going to mention this.
I have to pick up my aunt at the airport, and the Lucas Van Ness, who spoke to us today, by the way, so kudos to him. But I think Devontae Wyatt shamed him into it when I went to talk to Lucas yesterday, and he said, I got to go get treatment. I'm late for treatment. And Devontae Wyatt, in a very loud voice so everyone could hear, man, I already saw you in treatment. You got your treatment already. Why are you lying to him? So it's been an interesting day in the locker room, 24 hours in the locker room. But look, the big questions, they got three guys questionable. And Lucas Van Ness is one of them. I thought he'd be doubtful, but they're going to give him a chance to play. And then Matthew Golden and Savion Williams are the others. I mean, again, Romeo Doubs is off the injury report. Watson, who was added yesterday, is off the injury report. So I think they feel okay. And, of course, they've got Bo Melton, who should be a little more comfortable than he had been in his first game back at his old position. So they've got some options. They got Malik Heath. If one of those two rookies is okay, that would help. But, I really and truly believe for everyone who was wanting Matthew Golden to have an immediate impact, I really feel like if he can get healthy, the opportunity is there. I know I've talked a lot about opportunity, but he's the guy. Like, he obviously is nothing like Tucker Kraft in terms of his position, in terms of his build, in terms of his style of play. But those targets have to go somewhere, and those, I think, should go to him if he's healthy enough to play. I also think, and I've said this a couple times this week because I am among the people who failed on this, I think we underestimated how much this offense was going to miss Jaden Reed. Yeah. And I think the closer he gets to coming back, you start to feel better about what they could achieve in the passing game as well.
Jason, do you think there's a chance we see a little bit more Luke Musgrave? I expected them to sort of try and integrate him a little more, especially early in the game. Just sort of a guy you're going to need. He's going to be on the field more than he has been. And I didn't think they really, until later in the game, made him much of a factor.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't a factor. Just a piece of advice, don't bring that up to Tausch because he fired the 565 analytics crew for not picking
I heard all about it.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? But look, Luke Musgrave, and I don't mean to say this in a mean-spirited way, because he's a really nice guy. One of the excuses I got from him to not speak a couple weeks ago was that he had to go with his wife to a OBGYN appointment because their baby was about to be born. Now that one, I take that one over a lie about the training room and about going to get your aunt. But you know, he just and look, we shouldn't expect people to be something that they're not. I always think that that's a mistake in regular life or in football. But like, I keep thinking back to the 4th-and-1 play where they fail with Jacobs when they've got the ball, and if they go down and score, they win the game 14-10, and we're talking about these guys in such a vastly different light, right?
Yep, totally.
Even though they only scored 14 points. But on the 3rd-and-10 play, he catches the ball short of the sticks. He gets 9 yards. He gets tackled. And I couldn't help but think, Tucker Kraft gets that first down. He either makes that guy miss or runs him over and trucks him. And then on the very next play, yeah, they were calling out the play. Yeah, that's a problem. But at the same time, it's him and I think Morgan who both get blown up at the line of scrimmage that wrecks the play, turns it into a four-yard loss and a fumble, right? And so, you know, he just I would assume that he has the limitations he has in terms of not being an all-around tight end. And that's probably why they don't feature him and why they don't have him on the field as much.
Couldn't there be a sorry, I'm taking over this.
No, you're good. You're good.
Couldn't there be an excuse then to just use him vertically like we've seen him used in the like I've seen him run those seam routes and be effective at him when he's able to stay on his feet and sort of stretch the field. And stretching the field seems like the one thing they can't do. So shouldn't we just detach him from the line and say, go be you, not trying to make you Tucker Kraft?
Yeah, I mean, of course. But I think the problem with that, and I think you certainly know this as well, is when you do that, you know, you would like him to have the versatility of, okay, they're not going to know it's necessarily a pass if this guy's in the game, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is that, like, because look, let's be honest, you don't want to run if he's blocking, right? I mean,
that
is not his strength. So, and that sounds like such a mean-spirited thing to say, but I just, when I look at him, I just see a guy who, you know, he's kind of like JerMichael Finley, who had no interest in blocking. Unfortunately, much to Aaron Rodgers' frustration, he didn't have a whole lot of interest in the playbook either, which angered him to no end. Because I will tell you, Rodgers always thought that Jay Mike could be one of the all-time great tight ends, and he just wasn't willing to put in the work on that. And that's why Chewy called him a moron on the radio. And then JerMichael confronted me in the locker room, which that was fun. So my point is that I think Luke Musgrave is who he is. And that's for better or for worse. But, yeah, you would love for him to elevate his blocking skills to a point where at least it's not, telegraphing the fact, oh, this is going to be a run play. Or this is going to be a pass play because he's it.
Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Well, I mean, it's my job to take the time to talk with you.
No, you don't have to. And like this week, you gave us more of your services too yesterday. That's great.
Thank you for your
service. Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome for my service. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays from 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. I kind of want to get into the schedule game next, just hearing Jason talk about the next however many games on this Packers schedule. So I think we'll do that next year. This is Jim, Matt, Molly.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
The Badgers are like me trying to help my third grader do math. They understand that they need to get good players. They just can't do
they don't know how to get there.
They don't know how to get there anymore. The rules have changed. The math has changed.
Yeah.
And the Badgers can't figure it out. They can't keep up.
It's a great analogy. Good job.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.